Welcome. This is an encore of the Women of Grace program. No phone calls today, please.
This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Bankovic.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live today. It is a beautiful day, and I hope that you are enjoying every moment of it through the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ, the merits of His cross, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Woohoo! If we start our day like that, well, my goodness sakes, we're going to see abundant blessings everywhere we turn, and what a great, great opportunity it is for us to come together at this time so that we can do just that, right? Look for the blessings that are there in our lives. We certainly do always like to invite you to call us because, frankly, these airwaves are a blessing. They certainly are. To be able to use the airwaves for the glory and honor of God, I don't know. Is there anything greater than that? It's tough to think of what it could possibly be. Spreading the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ is such a joy. And you know that to be true because you spread it everywhere you go by virtue of your witness and the words that you speak and the deeds that you perform. Let me give you a number that you can use if you're in North America. You are welcome to call us here at Women of Grace Live at this lovely new number. Listen up. Here we go. It is an 800 number, but it begins 833. 833-288-3986. Or you may prefer to remember it this way. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-EWTN or last four digits 3986. It works, and we work, and we're here for you today. Also want to give you a number if you're outside of North America. The number for you to use is country code 1-205-271-2985. That's the same old number, country code 1-205-271-2985 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we love having holy conversation with you. Yes, we do. We love it. Additionally, I want you to know that we're available to you out there via social media. Jeff Burson, our new producer, is also the social maven out there. So he just gets everything going right there in that control room. We invite you to get out there to social media. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page is available for you. You have opportunity right there as well to communicate with us. All you have to do is use that little chat feature on the side and you can just put in your question. That's YouTube. I think it's underneath on Facebook. Nonetheless, you'll see it. Put your comment in there. Make sure your comment is not terribly long. It's easier to communicate to me if it isn't terribly long. And put your name in there and where you're from, and we're going to get it up here on the board, and we will take your questions, comments, insights, inspirations that way too. So we're available to you in all kinds of different ways. Oh, and guess what? You can text us as well. You can text EWTN to 55000. That's 55000. You wait for a response, put your name in, and you put where you're calling from or what station you're listening to, and then you zip in there your pithy little comment, short, sweet, considerate, and we get it here, and again, I can answer it. We've got Michael McCall call screening for us today. Michael is the man that you will speak with first, and he'll help to facilitate getting you on the air today. All kinds of lovely, lovely things happening here, and we are so excited about the opportunity to spend this time with you. Ah, my goodness sakes. Well, today is the feast day of one of my favorite saints. Yes, she is. Never knew much about her until I put together the Women of Grace Foundational Study, and I was looking for women saints to use to show a variety of different ways in which women come to the Lord, and also to show ways in which we can draw nearer to the Lord via the intercession of saints whose life histories might be similar to ours in some way or some aspect of them. And so I happened upon her. And her name is St. Josephine Buck Bakita, St. Josephine Bakita, and a marvelous, marvelous woman who was a slave in Africa, had a very, very difficult, difficult experience in life as a result of that, but basically was ransomed, if you will, out of that life by a kind, beautiful gentleman who took her into his home, and she became the governess for his children and eventually joined a religious community. And she gives us such witness because the tortures that she endured when she was a slave are absolutely horrific. We can't even begin to imagine them. In our Women of Grace foundational study, in the study book portion of that, we give a biography that kind of goes into some detail about that, only to show us how inhuman we can be sometimes, and yet how it is that God nonetheless prevails, and that he works good out of all things. And St. Josephine Bakita talks about the fact. Now, listen to this. This is amazing. Remember, she was terribly tortured. Her flesh was cut open and into design patterns. And in order to ensure those design patterns, salt was poured into those wounds. Can you believe this? And she writes later in her life that she was abundantly grateful for what she endured, because it was through what she endured that she came to know our Lord Jesus Christ, when she was ransomed, if you will, by this good man. Is that incredible? You know? And sometimes I think to myself about, you know, the little reversals that I experience, and we all have them, right? We all have things that are unexpected surprises that are not always happy surprises. We experience those things. And sometimes we lament them. I don't know about you, but I can lament. And truth be told, I can complain too. Have been working on that for a long, long time. Getting better, but not there yet. And the fact of the matter is, you then put that against someone who is like St. Josephine Bakita, and you say to yourself, what have I to complain about? What am I thinking? What I've endured is nothing in comparison to the crosses that some have received and carried so well, it merited them the crown of sanctity, sainthood, raised to the altar of the church, you know? And I think it's good for us to reflect upon such matters on feast days of saints whose heroism of life was a consistent pattern of behavior. I think just about any one of us can be heroic in the moment, thinking so. We often see that, right? Great deeds of valor, or maybe should I not pluralize that and say a great deed of valor in someone's life. And that's meritorious, to be sure. But greater when heroic patterns of behavior mark our daily lives in the ordinary circumstances that present themselves. I was talking to a friend this morning, and we were chatting about, okay, so what do you have on your agenda today? This is what's on my agenda. We were kind of matching things up. And my friend said, yeah, just the same old, basically. The same old can become quite a burden after a period of time, right? Can lead to boredom, a state of ennui, you know, just, ugh. Can even lead to inertia. Can almost lead to a certain disgust for life. But to face those mundanalities and do them day in and day out with an attitude of heart that says, I offer all of this for the glory and honor of God, and may it tend toward my eternal salvation in making a saint out of me and purifying me of everything. Why, that then becomes the mark of heroic patterns of behavior. So, you know, you might want to think about this. As a matter of fact, as I speak it to you, I'm thinking I ought to do this and shall. You know, what are the repetitive things that we do that, you know, just seem to sap the life out of us? And how can we look at this through a new perspective, a new lens, a new attitude of heart, a greater disposition of soul that says, in the mundanality is my path to sanctity, and I will embrace this with joy and ask the Holy Spirit to help me radiate that joy in the midst of the ordinary every day that is the majority of my existence. You know, that just might be something that helps us to make it through. So maybe you can call today and share with us a little bit about, wow, you know, maybe I can look at this situation a little differently, or maybe I can face this task or duty or obligation just a little bit differently. Much goes on in the imaginative reality of our soul, that faculty of the soul. And we can use that imagination by choosing to see in those oft-repeated experiences of our life, we can choose to see that as the stuff out of which fire tried gold can be made, or we can choose to see that as a prison. And the way in which we approach that, I think, makes all of the difference. Going to give you that new number again. Here it comes. It's an 800 number, but it begins 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-3986. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Johnnet Benkovic, eager to hear from you. Phone lines are opening. Oh my goodness, guess what? We're getting some text messages and other things too. We're going to take all of your calls and all of your messaging to the extent that we possibly can through the course of this hour. The sooner you call in, the faster we get to you, and the better the chance that you have of being on the air. We're going to be right back, inviting you to stay with us. We're going to be right back.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to
a
priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
March 13th. Blessed Angela of Foligno said, "The soul about to receive Holy Communion should be pure, that it may be purified, alive, that it may be quickened, just, that it may be justified, ready, that it may be incorporated with God uncreated, who was made man, and that it may be one with Him unto all eternity." Let us reflect. What is the state of my soul today? Am I ready to receive Holy Communion?
If you'd like to receive a daily Grace Line by email, go to womenofgrace.com and click on the word Grace Line. Then click on the box Receive Grace Lines. That's womenofgrace.com.
The Parents Television Council says Hollywood can't have it both ways when it comes to violent content. I'm Teresa Tamio with another Media Minute on EWTN. A new report from the PTC on violent media content reveals while Hollywood claims to be very concerned about this issue, at the same time, they're piling on the violent content, especially in TV programming. TV violence and gun violence in particular that is marketed, for example, as appropriate for children, the report shows has increased on primetime broadcast TV shows in the 5 years, for example, since the Newtown, Connecticut shooting. During the November 2017 sweeps, periods of primetime broadcast TV shows, almost 61% contained violence and 40% containing violence and guns. The PTC is saying it's about time Hollywood put their money where their mouth is and own up to the violent culture they helped to create. I'm Teresa Tamio with another Media Minute on EWTN.
Join in on the conversation. The Women of Grace phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN, 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. So happy to be with you today. Phone lines are lighting up and messaging is coming in, and we're all excited about that. Going to get to that in just 1 second, but I found a beautiful reading that it comes from Divine Intimacy that leads us into a deeper meditation on what it was that we were talking about before the break, and that is finding a heroic pattern of behavior in the ordinary and in the mundane. And this is from Meditation 129 in Divine Intimacy, and I'll make this fast because we want to get to the phone lines and to your messages, but I just can't pass this up because it's too great. It says this. It's in Meditation 1 the Greater Meditation 129. It's called The Daily Cross. And this is what Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene says. He says, "It is often easier to accept in a burst of generosity the great sacrifices and sufferings of singular occurrence than the little insignificant sufferings closely connected with our own state of life and the fulfillment of our duty." Then he gives us examples. Sufferings, which occur daily under the same form, with the same intensity and insistence, among endless and unchanging circumstances. These may include physical ailments caused by poor health, economic restrictions, the fatigue attendant upon overwork or anxiety. They may be moral sufferings resulting from differences of opinion, clash of temperaments, or misunderstandings. He says, "Herein lies the genuine cross that Jesus offers us daily, inviting us to carry it after him, an unpretentious cross which does not require great heroism, but which does demand that we repeat our fiat every day, meekly bowing our shoulders to carry its weight with generosity and love." He says, "The value, the fruitfulness of our daily sacrifices comes from this unreserved acceptance, which makes us receive them just as God offers them to us without trying to avoid them or to lessen their weight. Yea, Father, for so hath it seemed good in thy sight." Matthew 11, verse 26. Then this, and this is the last bit I'll read. Jesus calls our sufferings a cross because the word cross signifies instrument of salvation. And he does not want our sorrows to be sterile, but to become a cross, that is, a means of elevating and sanctifying our souls. In fact, all suffering is transformed, changed into a cross as soon as we accept it from the hands of the Savior and cling to his will, which transforms it for our spiritual advantage. Wow. That couldn't be said any better than that, indeed. Well, let's go to our phone lines. You can call us, too. New number for you. Here it is. The 800 has become 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-3986. We've got Rose with us. She's calling us from Boston, Massachusetts this morning, listening to us via Station of the Cross. Hey, Rose, how are you?
Hi, Jeanette. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, you're so welcome.
I was just telling your call screener that, I wish I could joyfully suffer the way that saint has, but I find it very, very difficult. And, you know, I constantly try and put things before the Lord, but it is so hard. I was sharing with him that I am a single mom. Mm-hmm. And my son's father seems to, in his actions, humiliate me. And it's hard because it's in social settings. And I feel that on my very soul. And I find myself in confession a lot. But I don't suffer well. I am crabby, and I try not to be. I want to find that joy. And, you know, I also want to teach my son. I do. I bear this cross out of love for my son. And
sure, obviously.
And because the Lord loves me, but it's hard.
Of course it is, sweetheart. You know, if it was easy, then it wouldn't be a suffering. It wouldn't be a sacrifice. It wouldn't be a cross. And it really wouldn't tend to our salvation, right? So, of course, it's difficult. And I don't think that there's anything that is more painful than being humiliated, being made fun of, being tormented. That is a type of abuse. It really is. It's a terrible, terrible suffering to have to endure. And I think of our Lord, you know, he was ridiculed and he was mocked and humiliated time and time again in his public ministry and throughout, with even a greater intensity, throughout his passion and his death. And, it is not a joyful experience, but we can find joy in the experience, just in the knowledge that through an act of the will and an intentionality of heart, we are uniting it to the humiliating experiences of our Lord Jesus. And I don't understand, Rose, exactly how things work. I understand nothing of how things work in the supernatural.
You.
You're quite welcome. But I do think this. I think that, you know, those humiliations that Christ suffered in his own passion and throughout the term of his public ministry, I think that, you know, they hold a grace for us. And the key to that grace is our just the act of the will of saying, I attach this to you, Lord. And I think it unlocks those graces that have been reserved for those moments when we experience humiliation. And, you know, it's something I can see in my head and can't articulate very well with my words, but it opens something up. It opens up a, you know, a treasury of grace that becomes a conduit of the divine life into our own situation. And I have sometimes found it helpful, you know, and I'll share a little experience with you too, but I sometimes find it helpful to just say, you know, Lord, I am so crabby and I am so tired of this. I am so sick of it. I just can't take any more of it. I'm just fed up with it. I'm fed up with the misunderstanding. I'm fed up with the teasing. I'm fed up with humiliations. I'm fed up with all of it. And all I can offer you in this moment is my fed upness. You know, all I can give you is my complete repulsion at all of this. And I'm not carrying this cross well today. And I admit that to you, but I'm striving. And that's what I can offer you is my striving. I remember one time, Rose, I had a bad day. We all have them. And I was doing my examination of conscience at night. And, you know, when we do an examine, we look at all of the ways in which we cooperated with grace and all of the ways in which grace was offered and we didn't cooperate because grace is always there for us. And I didn't cooperate well at all that day. As a matter of fact, I couldn't really find a single instant in which I had done any serious cooperating. I was in a funk and I was happy to let everybody know I was in a funk and I was just wallowing in it. And, so as I did my exam, I said, you know, Father, I said, I am so sorry. I have nothing to offer you. I don't even know how you put up with the likes of me. I have nothing to offer you this night. Nothing. I said, the only thing I've got is all of this weakness, all of this frailty, all of this misery of my condition, all of that, which is truly Johnette. That's all I have to offer you. And way down deep in the bottom of my heart where St. Francis de Sales says, we hear the voice of God. I seem to hear the Lord say to me, my daughter, you are right to say you have nothing to offer me this day except your weakness and your frailty. My daughter, that is all I desire. For anything that is in you that is good is me already. Give me your weakness that I might fill it with my life. And what an amazing moment that was for me, Rose, because I realized that you know, any act that I do that is good, any positive thought that I have is really the operation of the Holy Spirit within me. The only thing that I truly own is my misery, my weakness, my frailty. And that's all he wants, because when we give it to him, Jesus comes and he inhabits that area of our being and a transforming process begins to take place. So give him your crabbiness, your frustration, give him those tears that you were shedding earlier. You know, go on a little rant and rave with him. Our God loves that because it's honest. It's authentic. It's where we are in that moment. And he makes haste to help us in that moment. And we get it out, you know, of our being, which leaves that beautiful opening by which he can come in and invite him in. Say, so just come into this mess because I can't do it without you, Lord.
Yeah. So thank you, Jenna.
You're welcome, baby. And, you know, there's no need to apologize for, you know, these moments. There is need, however, to give them to the Lord and to ask him to come in and just to keep doing the deal. And one day, you know, there's a beautiful passage too in scripture. And I don't know where it is, but it says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Meaning that we don't have to go and get even, you know, at some point in time, we will experience that liberation that comes through the Lord and people will see clearly. And I'm sure the people see already because nobody admires somebody that just, you know, bears down on another
person. Actually think he's great. These people in social situations think his dad is great. And it is, you know, so it makes it even a greater suffering. And, you know, I want to make sure that, the other day I was talking to a friend and I said, I just feel like a failure. I feel like I've failed my son.
No, baby.
And I know that's not the case.
You know what? Rose, when that kind of condemnation comes in, you know, that is not coming from God. That's not conviction. That's condemnation. And condemnation comes from the evil one. It does not come from God. So that's the evil one heaping more stuff on top of you and making you turn it on yourself. So you just square your shoulders and you stand tall. You're the mother of this young man. And you're doing the best job that you can do under very difficult circumstances. You have true resolve under severe testing, and that's trust. And just keep trusting in God, okay?
Thank you, Jeanette. Thank you.
You're welcome, sweetheart. God bless you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. These are heartbreaking situations, you know, and, you know, maybe we're not experiencing that kind of a situation to the degree that Rose is, but we've all been there, haven't we? I mean, we've all shared in that suffering of our Lord's cross. And, I remind myself all the time, and so I remind you too, you know, the question is never, will I suffer, Lord? We're short of that. The question is, what will I do when I suffer, right? And we rise to the occasion to the best that we can, all the while knowing who we are and turning to the Lord and giving over all of the misery to Him. And so, Rose, you keep going on, baby. And I'll put you in my rosary today, too, for this. Absolutely. All right, we have a text message, and it's Alice. She says, what do I do when my husband does not want to practice the virtue of chastity within our marriage as it concerns our intimacy with each other? So, well, you know, Alice, what you have to do is have a little talk with him, and you know, here's what I would suggest you do first off. Become very familiar with the teachings of the church on this issue. Become very familiar with the teachings of the church on this issue. And then talk with your husband and tell him how it is that the church teaches us and guides us in the way in which we show respect and love for the other, and invite him to practice, you know, a form of loving affection that is not offensive to you, and one that respects you and shows dignity to you, and you conversely to him, and just chat about it, you know, what he wants and the way in which you can help to shape that and form that with a deeper teaching from the theology of the body and from church teaching, I think can do much to mitigate that circumstance. We certainly don't want that to be an area of consternation and something that separates us, because God intends for that to make us one flesh. So it's meant to unite us. And we have to have a unity in the way in which we approach that most beautiful aspect of married life. Okay. So, you know, try to help him to reframe this, but do it gently, do it peaceably, not in a harping way or a nagging way, not in an accusing way, but in a way that allows him to see your serious concern and your love for him. And I think that really will go a long distance. Give it a try. See what happens. Lots of you calling in today. We're going to get right back to you. We invite you to stay with us. We're going to go to that break that you hear the music for right now. When we come back, more on Women of Grace Live. I'm Jeanette Bankovic, delighted to be with you here. Going to give you that number again. It's 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-3986. We're here for you. Eager to hear from you. You can also call us 1-205-271-2985. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
This is a Lenten journey with Timothy Cardinal Dolan on EWTN Radio.
Pardon me for repeating myself, but I want to talk to you again about water. The Bible's hung up on water. The Bible repeats itself at about water, so I don't feel that bad since the Bible did it. On this Tuesday, the fourth week of Lent, we've got the story of Ezekiel, with Ezekiel walking through the water. By the way, we're going to have that on Holy Saturday. And we've got the beautiful gospel from John, where that ill, blind, paralyzed beggar is cured by Jesus next to the pool, the waters of Bethesda. Never forget, whenever we hear about water in the Bible, and we hear about water a lot, we always think of the saving, cleansing water that flows from the side of Christ on the cross. And we also think of the saving, healing, cleansing waters of baptism.
A Lenten Journey with Timothy Cardinal Dolan is available on DVD through the EWTN Religious Catalog. This DVD includes all 47 segments for each day of Lent, from Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday. To get your copy, log on to our website, EWTNReligiousCatalog.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
Hello, ladies. Jonet Benkovic here. Do you feel called to be a leader, to transform the world, to deepen your faith? Why not then accept my invitation to explore the new partnership between the Women of Grace Benedicta Leadership Institute and Holy Apostles College and Seminary? All sorts of dynamic, enriching educational opportunities are yours, from auditing courses to certification to full graduate degrees in pastoral studies, all with a focus on Catholic women's leadership. For more details, go to benedicta.womenofgrace.com. That's benedicta.womenofgrace.com.
Welcome back. This is an encore of Women of Grace. Please, no phone calls today.
Be a part of Women of Grace. The phone lines are open. 1-833-288-EWTN. 1-833-288-3986.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. We've got lots of callers today. It makes me giddy with joy. I'm going to give you that number because we've got a couple of lines open for you. 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-3986. We're here for you. We're going to go to Susie. Susie's calling us from San Antonio, Texas this morning. One of my favorite cities. She's listening to us via Guadalupe Radio Network. Shout out to all of our good friends at Guadalupe Radio Network there in San Ann. Good morning, Susie. How are you?
Doing fine, Jeanette. Thank you for taking my call.
You're so welcome.
I just wanted to say a little something. I don't know whether I misinterpreted or didn't catch your whole topic for today, okay. But I thought I heard you say something about the mundane and how we can get out of the rut of every day and not let it get to us.
Yes, you did hear correctly.
Well, okay. Well, I just wanted to say that I'm a stay-home mom, and I've been really practically for all our married life been at home. I've worked for maybe a couple of years here and there, but I have three young men. The youngest is 15 and the oldest is 22. So okay. I spend most of my day just, you know, washing dishes and cooking and cleaning and all that kind of stuff. So it can get very mundane, but just reading a little bit about St. Teresa of Lisieux and her little way, I've kind of started living my life that way. Just every day, just trying to do the mundane with a lot of love for them.
Yes. Well, you know, Susie, that makes all of the difference, and that is the key, right? And, I think that those ordinary duties that we do every day can really be turned into God moments. You know, we can be praying for our loved ones as we're folding their clothes. Oh, well, here's Johnny's blue jeans, you know, I'm going to fold these blue jeans. And Lord, I just ask that, you know, he always walks according to your ways. You know, there's little ways that we can punctuate the day, but your guys are up there now. I mean, your youngest is 15, your oldest is 22. They are young men, and it would not be a bad thing for you to make some room in your day for you, in order to come to, maybe, you know, some kind of something that infuses maybe a little new life into our day is a good way to put it.
Well, to be honest with you, my boys are, I've been very blessed, getting to know through EWTN, getting to know my faith and really growing in it.
Good.
And so, I get to go to Mass because I don't
Beautiful.
Work. because I get to stay home. So I get to go to Mass every day. I get to go to adoration. I get to take my boys, you know, when they're off from school for whatever reason. And they go with me. Sometimes, you know, I had to do a lot, some nudging. But they've seen a difference in how I'm learning. And my husband and I are becoming better witnesses. You know, we're not, we're far from knowing everything. And we're a little bit probably not as disciplined with them as much as we should be. But, you know, the two oldest are working. They're going to college. They're paying their own way. I still struggle with them doing chores in the house and, you know, things like that. But, you know, they go to Mass with us every day. They know they have to go to confession. And so it's life has really changed for us ever since EWTN.
Susie, that is so beautiful. I'm telling you, what a tremendous witness, you know. Golly gee, the Holy Spirit breathes in your house, and he breathes in you and through you. And obviously, the opportunity to be able to communicate the faith to your boys and to lead them in that way, that's immeasurable. That's, that qualitatively and quantitatively, there's no way to express what a gift that has been for them and will remain with them, and what in fact has been a great gift for you. So, you know, beautiful job, and you give us insight into the way in which we can fuse together, if you will, into an authentic lifestyle, our faith with our daily duties and responsibilities. Thank you so much for your witness, Susie. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, and thank you for everything that you and everybody else does in EWTN. Because of Mother Angelica, you guys have made the big difference in our lives forever.
Oh, thank
and
you, sweet.
So I pray for everybody out there that they'll get to hear you speak and hear everybody else speak, because you all speak from the heart, and the Holy Spirit is with EWTN. Thank you.
Thank you, Susie. We believe that to be true, and we just rejoice in the fact that Mother Angelica gave her fiat, and all of us have given fiat, as well as you, and Mother's example and witness shines bright. It's really a light shining in the darkness today. Great things happen when we say yes to God. And so, Susie, thank you so very much, and God bless you. Let's go to Susan. Susan is calling us from Melbourne, Florida, on the other side of the state that I inhabit. Hi, Susan. You're listening to us via Divine Mercy, and we're happy about it. What's going on with you today?
Well, I just wanted to say that you are definitely right about the mundane versus the exceptional.
Yes.
My example is that I had cancer 7 years ago, and I was fortunate in that I was able to just fight it and get over it, and people supported me every step of the way. But I think about my friends. I mean, one thing I realized during the time I had cancer is that I have two friends who have lupus.
Uh-huh.
And those two ladies are going to have that thing till the day they die. It's a chronic disease.
Yes.
And there isn't a place for people to cheer them on the way they cheered me on. And, you know, they have to deal with that every single day.
Yeah.
And all I can do is pray for them. And, those are the people that really have the tough time. People like me, I mean, I had a really low point, but I came back from it, and now I'm pretty much normal.
Well,
so,
that's wonderful, Susan.
I mean,
Susan,
just think about all your friends. I'm just saying to everybody, think about all your friends that have chronic diseases, and pray for them and support them any way you can if they need you to run errands or whatever.
Yeah. Well, Susan, you know, that shows a beautiful, compassionate heart that you have there. And you understand because you've been there and done that. And you also understand how generous it is of people to help in moments like that, and how much you appreciate that. And it doesn't take much, really. It doesn't take much. But what it does take is a willingness to self-sacrifice, a willingness to give. And I thank you for that reminder. It's a good one for all of us today. And, you know, we do have Lent approaching very quickly here, this coming Wednesday, of course, being Ash Wednesday, and Lent begins. Why not this Lent make it a practice? You know, a holy habit can be developed in that period of Lent. Why not make it a holy practice to do one act of charity every day, one act of mercy, something that you don't typically do. Go out of your way to do it, no matter what it might be. And I have a feeling that if you tell the Lord that this is what you would like to do during Lent, He is going to pepper your day with many occasions to be self-sacrificing and to be of service to someone else. And when I say of service here, I mean really being Jesus to them, because that's what we're called to do. That's living our purpose. That's living our mission. That is what service to God is all about, living our mission. And so if you offer that kind of a disposition of heart to the Lord, He will make haste to make it possible for you, and it will become perhaps the most life-changing Lent that you've ever experienced. Let's go to Annette. She's calling us from Florida today. You can call us too, 833-288-3986. Good morning, Annette. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to say that I just need some words of encouragement, and if anybody can say any prayers for me. I was in a community where I tried to help. I tried to expose fraud that was being done to elderly people with elderly abuse. And in doing that, I had to go up against some very powerful people that really made my life very difficult, and I felt very bullied. It was powerful men, and I was just I'm a single female from a single mother. And so I felt very bullied. This happened a few years ago. And now I decided all that encouraged me to go for a position in the community where I can help prevent these kinds of things. And I just found out this week how these people are making phone calls to try to block that. And I just feel bullied all over again. And I know God is with me, and He knows my heart is in the right place.
Right.
But I just need words of encouragement, because it's hard when you're feeling bullied. You're on your own.
Yes.
And,
you know, I'll tell you what, Annette, when we put ourselves out there in a public way where we're trying to help an entire community adopt a different perspective towards a segment of the population, we are going to come up against principalities and powers, you know. So this battle is not really a battle. It is a battle, you know, with the community at large in some ways. But additionally, it's a spiritual battle. And you're battling, you know, spirits of greed, most likely spirits of avarice. You're battling possibly spirits of prejudice and bias. You're battling agendas that see the elderly and see the needy as a parasite on the community. You're coming up against hatred, you know, spirits of hate and animosity. So we can flag in that kind of a situation unless we are very, very well steeped in prayer. And I'm sure you're a praying woman. I'm not suggesting that you're not, so don't hear that. But I think that what we need is to get our weaponry in order. And we need to put on the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of justice and the belt of truth. And we need to raise high that shield of faith and put the sword of the word of God into our hands and slip our feet into the boots of zeal to propagate the gospel. And we need to go out with a mindset of slaying dragons, realizing the people that are making these statements are not really the enemy that we are to be focused on. We're to be focused on that which governs those people, you know, the source of the hatred, the source of the animosity, the source of the misunderstanding. You know, it's those things that we need to be looking at, and those things come from the pit of hell. And so you dress yourself up in that suit of armor. You lift high that mighty weapon, which is the rosary. You get into the rosary. You pray it every day, and you start praying for those people, you know, not necessarily for their mindsets to change in the sense of, you know, a reversal of things that are going on in their perspective, but you pray for those people to be released from those demons, and that's what will happen. Their mindsets will be changed. Their hearts will be softened. So I think that that's the thing to do, is to pray for them. Jesus says, pray for our persecutors. He tells us to do that. Pray for our persecutors. Pray for our enemies. Pray for those who revile us. Pray for those who hate us. Now, that's not to say that you don't get worn out. And it's not to say that sometimes, you know, we flag on the battlefield. And then we go to triage. We go to the triage unit. And what is that? We go to confession. We seek the sacramental graces. You know, and confession is not always just about confessing sin, although we all have sin and need to confess it. Sometimes it's just going there to be healed. You know, bless me, Father. You know, I have sinned, and you name your sins. And then you say, Father, I am under siege right now. I feel as though, you know, I've got a force of evil spirits coming against me through individuals. And I'm asking for the grace of this sacrament to strengthen me, to heal those areas of weakness within myself, and to strengthen me that I might pick up this cross and carry it well and not fall under the weight of it. And, you know, yes, we need to pray for each other in these moments. And we're going to do that right now. And so, Father God, we just lift up to you your daughter Annette. In fact, I lift up all of the callers who have called us today. Every one of them facing moments in their lives that can be difficult, are difficult. And we know, Father God, that you desire good for us, that you know the plans that you have for us. And these are plans for our welfare, not our woe. And so even when we face these vicissitudes of life that are not pleasant, we know that you're in the midst of them and there is grace to be mined there. And we know that we're not fighting alone. We know that the Holy Spirit is with us. Our guardian angel is with us. The intercession of the saints with us. Today on this feast of St. Josephine Bakita, who put up with so much in her life, we ask you, St. Josephine, to please intercede for us as we seek to endure those aspects of the cross that our Lord sees fit to give us for our purification and sanctification. And even better than that, we ask for the grace to be able to embrace it, knowing that it will lead us on the path that we need to go and invigorate us on that path. And in its own way, make that path so smooth. And so I ask that your daughter Annette receive the infusion of grace that she needs this day to face this day with all that you desire she receive from you. I pray that for all of the callers who have called in today. And we lift this prayer to you, Father God, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. In Jesus' name, amen. Annette, thank you for your call today, because I'm sure it's something that hits the hearts of lots of people. And thank you for listening to us via Sirius XM 130. Just want to put a little shout out there for the EWTN app. It is great. If you don't have the app, please do download it, because you can listen to EWTN on the go. Wherever you are, it's available for you via that app. You can watch live streams from television here, live streams from radio. You can go to the on-demand service that is there for you too. Lots of good stuff for you out there on the EWTN app. Want to remind you too that take two today, here's the question, the topic of discussion with Debbie and Jerry. What advice would you give those younger than yourself? I love that question. As a matter of fact, I want to answer it, but I'll withhold my comments. What advice would you give those who are younger than you? Good question being posed today by our good friends, Debbie and Jerry, right there for you on Take Two following our program today. All right, we've got something else up here for you too. A text from Donna. I am afraid every time I ask God to help me with something because I know he will give me chances to practice what I am praying for, but I always trust him and know that he will help me every step of the way. Well, you know what, Donna, that is great. And you're a very bright lady. When we ask God for a virtue, he gives us the opportunities to practice the virtue. You know, I used to think years ago, when I was very young in the spirit, I used to think that, you know, I would wake up one morning and all of the fruits of the spirit would just be there for me, you know, that I would be abundantly fruity. But the fact of the matter is, no, what God does is, because we have free will, he does this, he gives us opportunities to practice what we're praying for. So you are right. You know, we pray for patience. God is going to give us umpteen opportunities to practice patience until we acquire that virtue. We pray for trust, and he's going to give us opportunities to trust in him. But the fact of the matter is, the acquisition of those virtues holds within itself a great joy in the process, because we see ourselves growing in holiness. We see ourselves growing in sanctity. And what we realize is it's not us at all. It's the God life in us. We realize more of God in us, and that brings joy. And that in and of itself is edifying, and that in and of itself is very encouraging. And that in and of itself helps for us to live that abundant life of our Lord Jesus Christ and to share that abundant life with everyone we know. So there you have it, right straight up from Women of Grace Live today. 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us. 833-288-3986. We're here for you today on Women of Grace Live. Just pick up the phone, give us a call, send a text, you know, get out there to social media, wing a question our way. We have a couple of minutes left. Oh, I want to remind you about something else. You know, EWTN, one of our callers mentioned today, Susie, she talked about all of the ways in which EWTN has affected her life and ultimately transformed her family life. What a great thing, you know? And it's just truly amazing what Mother Angelica raised up. It's truly amazing that through the gift of the Holy Spirit, things have grown into all of the various ways in which they have grown, into all of the various outreaches and all of the various platforms that are used to preach the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a way for you to stay up to date on everything that goes on at EWTN. And why not? You should want to be in the know there. And you can stay up to date on the latest EWTN TV and radio shows through Wings. And Wings is our electronic letter, basically email, a little magazine kind of thing that you get. You can stay up to date on books and art CDs and DVDs from religious catalog, plus books and blogs and news and events. So how do you sign up for Wings? You just get out there to Wings at EWTN.com. Sign up for Wings, our weekly newsletter at EWTN.com. EWTN.com. Doesn't get any simpler than that. Reminding you again, too, go to that app store, your app store, put in EWTN. The EWTN app is free of charge, and it is a treasure trove of great information for you right out there. So we invite you to get out there and take a look at that. I use my EWTN app very, very frequently, lots of the time, especially when I'm on a treadmill or something like that. It's a very good thing to do. Also walking, you know, or just moving around about the house, you know, a great way for you to stay in touch with what's happening live on EWTN or by listening to beautiful things that you can listen to that have already been broadcast. Podcasts are there for you. Television shows are there for you. All kinds of delightful things, I'm telling you. You know, it's just... It's a present a day here at EWTN, just a present a day here at EWTN. Inviting you again to stay tuned for Debbie and Jerry, which follows our program today. Let's just remember what we read here in Divine Intimacy today, because I think it gives us good words to consider, good words to pray about, good ways in which we can move forward in this quest for holiness in the mundanalities of life. Remember this, Jesus calls our sufferings a cross because the word cross signifies instrument of salvation. I love that. And he does not want our sorrows to be sterile, but to become a cross. That is a means of elevating and sanctifying our souls. In fact, all suffering is transformed, changed into a cross as soon as we accept it from the hands of the Savior and cling to his will, which transforms it for our spiritual advantage. What is your cross today? How is Jesus presenting himself to you today? Are we willing to say yes and embrace that cross, especially in the everyday duty, and find in it a way of purification, sanctification, hope, and healing? I hope so. God bless you now. Bye-bye.